Good morning, church. It is great to see all of you. It's great to see more of you. I know that 10 o'clock thing is challenging, isn't it? So it's great to see you guys here this morning. Next week, by the way, we're back to 11, and we kick off Sunday school for our kids especially. We're excited about that. But we are going to look at just a little quick mini-series in the month of January, as we customarily do, and it's called First Things First. You know, can you, by the way, as Ansu said, can you believe 23 is over? It seemed like the holidays snuck on us. It seemed like it was just August. We were just at the beach, you know, as a church, you know, and all of a sudden, now it's cold, it's Christmas, Christmas is behind us, and we're getting ready to start a new year. How can it be? And we want to talk about some things this morning, some preparations for a fruitful new year. And I want to just start with a word of prayer. Let's just pray. Father God, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, dear God, for our praise team, Lord, and just how they lead us to your throne each and every week. And I pray, dear God, as we just sang, Lord, hopefully very prayerfully, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts now this morning. Father, we can't believe we're standing in the face of a brand new year. Father, that comes with excitement. That comes with some fear and trepidation. And, Lord, that comes with some confidence, Lord, that you are a God, and we know, Lord, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, as we come to you this morning, I pray that you would just open up our eyes, open up our hearts. Help us, Lord, as we look at your word, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you would just really challenge us, Lord, to a year that is going to be fruitful. And Lord, help us to build the foundations, Lord, with just a desire and a heart to see real spiritual growth. Lord, I ask these things now. And I pray that you would just take away all the distractions, Lord, that are there with us and just work in our hearts this morning. And I pray these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So take your Bibles. We're going to study the book of 2 Peter here this morning. And turn there, if you would. And it's kind of interesting, by the way. I look back and I try to keep track of these things a little bit. And Carol is a great help in that. But we actually looked at this passage just about 3 years ago to the day. And you might say, wow, that must have been an easy week for you. I didn't have to prepare. I could just celebrate Christmas all week long. And the answer is, no, not really. But I say this, as we open up this passage, we've probably studied it before. We thought about it before. But here's the challenge I want to get us all to think about this morning is, you know what? Our situations have changed. And our situations this year are going to require us to have spiritual growth and are going to compel us to grow more. And, you know, that's certainly true for me. You know, now we're grandparents and, you know, our kids are growing up. And there's all kinds of things that changes are on the landscape that we have to face. Some of you are facing changes in your health. Some of you are facing changes in your relationships. You know, your kids are growing up too. Nobody's kids are standing still. You know, life is going on. And God has given us exactly what we need to get through this year and to bring him praise and glory. But it's going to require that we not stay the same. And that's what we want to focus on this morning as we dive into God's word. So we're going to shoot right on down. And the thought I want you guys to think about is this idea of preparations for a new year. And here's the foundation, is that the foundation of this year being something that we get through, something that we can praise God in, even if it gets challenging, is that there's got to be a commitment that we make for spiritual growth. And by the way, that, I'm not trying to say, you know, we all need to be, you know, these theological scholars, but we all need to be theologians as we approach life and understand that we have a God who's going to be there for us, and he's going to teach us and guide us and grow us in just the way that we need if we're willing to follow him. And praise God, he gives us his Holy Spirit to guide us, to move in our heart, to make his word sort of jump out at us and help us to understand it. God does all those things. And I want to encourage us, and you see those beautiful crocuses on that picture. I took that picture last year. It was right at the change of the seasons of winter and spring. And you can see, like, out of weeds and leaves and all the debris of winter, this beauty just comes out. And that's what God wants to do in us. And there's going to be stuff in your life. By the way, anybody got stuff in their life? We got some stuff, right? We all got stuff, right? Amen? And God's going to be able to do that as we grow. So we want to just kind of move down to our eternal truth this morning. And I'll just throw this out first before we dig into that. Are you guys hopeful about the new year? Hopeful for a new year with, it's like a new beginning. You know, it's kind of a great thing. It kind of makes us stop for a minute and think, makes us plan, makes us maybe put some things in place, makes us kind of honestly look at stuff sometimes. And, you know, do you wonder what could make the outcome of being fruitful more probable? How can I make this year more fruitful? And I just want to share, we're going to look at God's word, and he's going to show us how to do that. So here's the eternal truth. Get this in your mind, right? The foundation of a fruitful year, a blessed year, is a genuine commitment to spiritual growth. If we truly seek the Lord with all our heart, we will find him and grow in our life-giving relationship with him. God promises that. Now, I want to share just this verse, and you guys are familiar with it. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Says God says these words. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." To do what? To give you and me a future and hope. And look what the Lord says. We can be confident of this fact. He says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me." And what's it say? "And I will listen to you." Like, God wants a relationship with us. By the way, that's why he sent Jesus. That's why he died. God wants a relationship with us. And if we go to him and we seek him, you know, he's going to listen to us. And then look what it says next. "And you will seek me." And what's it say? "And you will find me." Get this in our minds, right? God is not out there running away from people. It tends to be that people are running away from God. Sometimes we're running away because we're afraid. You know, we're caught up in sin. We're caught up in all these things. And we're running away from God because we're afraid. And God says, run to me when you're afraid. Run to me when you sin. Do all those things, because if you seek me, I'm gonna find you. And we're going to find him. And look what he says. But this was to the nation of Israel. And he says, "And you'll search for me with, you'll find me if you search for me with all your heart." And that's kind of our thought today. I want us to really come away today with a commitment that I'm going to make some real steps to grow. And by the way, everybody look up. Some of you guys are saying, "Man, I am 85 years old. I ain't growing no more." Anybody thinking that? Somebody saying, "You know, last year I grew a whole lot. Last year I read my Bible through." Amen. Now it's 2024. It's time to start over. Right? Those accomplishments are just not points in time and one-time things, right? And I appreciate what the Lord says here to Israel. He says, "And I will bring you back from your captivity." You know, praise God, we're not in captivity in a physical sense. But a lot of times we're in captivity to our sin, our desire, all those things that just kind of suck us in. We feel like we're in captivity to our circumstances, don't we? Man, if I could just change this and have some freedom and have time and do this, we feel like we're just captive. And God says, if you seek me, you'll find me, and I'm going to bring you back from your captivity, from your issues. He says, "I'll gather you from all the nations, from all the places I've driven you," says the Lord, "and I'm going to bring you to a place from which cause you carried you away to be captive." In other words, God's going to restore. And he gave this to Israel as a promise, right? Probably in one of their darkest days as Jeremiah spoke these words. His message was, if you seek me, you're going to find me, and I'm going to restore you. And I want to challenge us. That's our thought as we kind of dive in today, thinking about this idea of spiritual growth. So let's quickly go to 2 Peter. And I want to give you guys three things as we start out, right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Peter is addressing, and I called it the faithful.
And I took a picture last week of, that's you guys, by the way. You're the faithful. That's us. That's who we are, right? We're the ones who are seeking to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some people missing. They were away last week. But you guys are the faithful. You're the ones that God is speaking to today. And by the way, God's people is who he's addressing. He talks about God's provisions and God's promises. And he says that we have this possibility to participate and share in God's divine nature. His power, his peace, his companionship. We have that possibility. And he kind of lays that out for us this morning. So we want to dive right into the text this morning. And go with me if you would. We're going to take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And look at the author, by the way. Who's the author of 2 Peter? Some of you guys might say, 2 Peter, right? No. No, yeah, Peter, right? Peter's the author, right? And Peter has this reputation, right, of being this impetuous, put your foot in your mouth, you know, loud, you know, bombastic type of guy, right? He says things, he does things. He chopped off, you know, the high priest's servant's ear. He's just kind of a wild guy. But when he writes 2 Peter, he is a mature saint who has come to know the power of God. And I say that to say this. You know what? A lot of times we feel like we are never going to change. By the way, Cindy, I don't know what you were thinking, but that video was like right on point. That's exactly what we're talking about today, this idea, right? It's amazing that God wants to change us. And I want to share with you guys, and this is one of the tools I'll share with you guys. We've been purchasing this new daily devotional. It's called The Word for You Today. And it was kind of cool. I read this on the 29th of December, which was Friday. The topic was, let God remold you. And I appreciate this. Another verse from Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote these words. He says, can a leopard change his spots? What do you think? Not very easily, right? Not too much, right? This is Jeremiah 13:23. And all of us, sometimes we say, you know, it's hopeless. Look at me, or look at you. It's hopeless, right? But no, it's not. And I appreciate the video said these very words. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So there is nothing this year in your life that God can't change. And everybody look up. This is a really important point. God may not, I hope he does, change your and my circumstances. We pray for God to do that. We hope he does that. We hope he takes away the troublesome, bad, challenging things. But he might not do that. But what he will do is strengthen us to deal with those circumstances and bring glory to God and accomplish his purpose in our lives, right? And trust me, I wish, because I'm just like you, I wish God would change a lot of my circumstances. But if he doesn't, he's going to give us the grace that is all sufficient to get us where we need to be. And some of the growth is, I just need to trust God more. I just need to go to God more, you know, cry out to God. And what did that verse say? He'll listen. And he's going to help me. He's going to give me what I need today. So as I dive into 2 Peter, right, Peter's talking about this, and he says, he calls himself a bondservant, a willing servant of God, and an apostle of Christ, and he says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So he writes this letter, and he says, I'm writing this to all you Christians. By the way, he was directing it to these Christians that are dispersed all over in that season of history. But he says, I'm writing this to all you Christians, all of you who share this like precious faith. And by the way, isn't it precious? It's the only thing that is stable in this world. You know, we looked at just a couple series ago, we looked at kind of the instabilities of the world, all the things going on. But he says, I'm writing this to you. And look what he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Just stop for a minute and think about that. In other words, as I begin to know God, I will feel his grace.
What is grace? It's his unmerited favor to me, and it's this supernatural ability that God will give me to suffer and deal with stuff that I don't want to deal with, but I got. He's going to give me that grace. It says he's going to give me peace. It's going to be multiplied to me. When I begin to really grasp that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, no matter what 2024's outlook is, medically, relationally, or any other way, I know that I can have peace because God is in control. We just preach this, right? He's the Prince of Peace. Remember what the angels said? They said, fear not, because I bring you what? Good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day a Savior who is what? Christ the Lord. And these people can have peace and they can have hope. And that's what God multiplies to us as we grow in the knowledge of him. So it's kind of like, and I'll throw this out, everybody look up. Isn't our attitude so important? Like I can go into 2024 saying, is this going to be another stinky year? Is this going to be another year that I got to fight my way through? Is this going to be more stuff, more problems? Or I can say, you know what? 2024 is a new start. And God is going to be with me. And he's going to help me. And I'm going to bring him glory. And I'm going to find ways to praise him. I'm going to find peace. I'm going to be hopeful. There's nothing that God can't do. You know, and we'll look at this, by the way, next week we're going to talk about some of the things that will power our lives. But, you know, Paul said this in the book of Philippians. He said, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what? All we ask or think. And a lot of times we're so caught up in our world, I can't even think outside that box. But I know God's able to accomplish greater things than that. And that's what we want to think about. And he throws this out there. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And then check this out. Anybody ever feel powerless? Right? Yeah. Amen, right? Amen. By the way, don't be shy because we all feel it. We all feel kind of powerless, kind of struggling at times. Look what he says. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know, God's provision for us when he gave us his word and his Holy Spirit is he's given us all things that pertain to life. That means the good things, the bad things, and everything in between on that spectrum. God's given us everything that we need. There's a sufficiency to God's word that just overcomes everything else. He's given us all those things. He says, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Stop for a minute this morning. You know, as Paul lays this out, he says, I'm addressing all you Christians. And by the way, these Christians, they use this name for them. They were called the diaspora. You know what that means? They were dispersed all over the place. You know why? Persecution. They were literally running for their very lives. And there's been various diaspora in our age, you know, in our world history. The Jews, African Americans, many others have been dispersed by their circumstances, and they found hope in God. And that's what he's trying to say here. He's saying, God has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Here's one. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember, David said this in Psalm 139. He says, there is no place, basically, that I can go that you're not going to be there. No matter where you go, no matter what you fall into, step into, try to run away from, God will be there. There's some exceeding great and precious promises that I got to grasp and hang on to. And I'll throw this out. Sometimes that's all I got. By the way, remember Jesus said this in one of my favorite verses in Scripture, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2? How's that verse go? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, how's it go? Since we are encompassed or circled about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us do what? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, right? Knowing that my race and your race are all different races. And then he says this word. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So isn't that a precious promise? That, you know, even as the Lord did that, as he was the captain of our salvation, we're looking unto him. We know everything else is crazy around us, but you know what? I'm looking unto Jesus, and he's going to get me through. Right? And Peter writes these words down. Help us to understand that. And by the way, the next thing he says is, and check this out, that through these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. And that word, by the way, that word for partakers, if you look it up, it's the word koinonia. You ever heard that word? That's where we call it, the idea of fellowship, or we share. In other words, we get to share in the power of the living God. We're partakers of his divine nature as we live life on this earth. I don't know about you, but I would like that kind of power. You know, my batteries run out faster than the ones in the microphone. You know, it's just like life just beats us up and sucks our energy away. But he says, you know what? God's power is there, and you can be a partaker, a sharer, one who has that connection to God that will strengthen you day by day, moment by moment. The people, right? The people, we kind of get this idea. I'm just going to slide down, Christopher, if we could real quick. You know, we kind of dealt with this idea of God's provision. So get this in your mind. The people are us. The provision is exhaustive. God will give us everything that we need. And then lastly, we can be partakers, right, of his divine nature. And go down one slide, Christopher, if you would. We can be partakers of that. So that kind of begs the question, right? And by the way, as we share in God's nature, here's the question. How? How do I do it? What do I do? How am I going to make this year different than last year? How are my losses last year going to be wins this year? How are things going to really change? How can I really grow? I just feel so stunted in where I'm at, maybe. How do I make those things happen, right? And that's what I want to take us to. And we'll go down to the next passage there. Christopher, if you would. And Peter gives us this idea, and I called it admonishing the fruitful. And I want you guys to get this in your mind. First thing, right? We mentioned it as a lead-in, right? I want to think about our attitude. I'll throw this out. When you know, as a manager, even as a pastor, when you hire somebody, hire attitude. Everyone won't know everything, but if they're teachable, if they want to learn, if they're passionate, take that person, right? Attitude means everything. Attitude in our lives changes everything. We can say, man, everything is terrible in life, but God is on the throne. Right? Gets to stir those things, right? Attitude's everything. Then he talks about this idea of additions. And write this in your notes today. The idea of additions is growth. Growth. We'll talk about each point. And then there's an analysis about growth. And it kind of lays it out. It's kind of like the analysis, like kind of like if we're not growing, we're really nearsighted, even to the point of being blind. That's real nearsighted, right? We can't see at all. So we'll talk about that. So here's the first thing. Look what he says. Look at verse 5. This is where we're going to start our year. He says, but also for this very reason, and he's going back to the text, right? This very reason is what? I can be partakers of God's divine nature, his power, his peace, his strength, his presence. It's all mine. He said, because of that, look what he says, giving all diligence. And what's that mean? Making every effort. Get that, write that down. Make every effort to grow. We're going to talk about some things at the end today. Some tools, relationships, things that you can do that are going to help your growth spiritually. They're going to help your growth as people. You know, in the Church of Jesus Christ, iron sharpens iron. That means when we rub against each other, it's a positive impact. You know, there's some things we can do. So he says this, give all diligence, make every effort, be zealous. You know, a lot of times we make that word, when we think of people that are zealous, we think of people that like annoy us, right? But being zealous means, man, I am determined. I am going to grow. I'm not going to let anything stop me. I'm going to do it. You know, and that's what the Lord's trying to say to us. And he says, give all diligence, your attitude. And I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up real quick. Do we do that about spiritual things? Sometimes we're like, oh, you know, we kind of think a lot of times that it's just going to happen. And honest to God, in life, not too many things that are really good and positive and developmental really just happen. Isn't that true? Did anybody become a PhD because it just happened? Did anybody become a president because it just happened? You know, sometimes we become a parent because it just happened, and then we're like, baby, I need some help. Right? You know, and my dad, you know, we're buying every book. How do I do this? How do I do that? You know, it's kind of fun. We're going through that as grandparents now. Everything we try to tell Sarah, said, oh, they changed the thinking on that. Right? Right, Jane? You know, it's really true. Don't do this. You know, by the way, I don't know if you guys know this. You know, as babies now, before you put them to bed, you know, we used to like have blankets for our babies. Now we have sacks. Anybody know about that? You got to sack your kid. So it's like literally you put the kids, and the idea is that so they don't suffocate, but you put your kid in a bag and you kind of pull it tight and his arms are kind of like this, you know, and the baby is sacked and you hope he's sleeping in his sack. Right? And, you know, and there's no bumpers on the crib. So if he hits his head, it's head to wood. You know, it's all those kind of things. It's just a different world. The crib is hard as a rock. I guess everyone will one day grow up and they'll want firm mattresses. I don't know. But the world has changed, right? The world has changed in amazing ways. You know, so we got to grow. We got to learn how do we do this stuff. You know, by God's grace, Levi has been sacked for 7 months. He's still alive, and he's developing well. So if you gave us a blanket or something like that, one day he'll use it. I'm not sure when, but he's still sacked. So it's a different life, different thing, right? So look what Peter says. He said, Cassie says, give all diligence. He said, add to your faith. We got to add. We got to make some additions in our lives. And I want to just take a minute. Let's just read the verse for a second. It says, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And if I stop just for a quick second, I think about all those things. You know what they are? They're all, we have to grow in our character quality. And one of the things that distinguishes us from anyone else in the world is, as followers of Christ, there is a great element of character. Genuine character, integrity, you know, and all the things that go with that in our character. So I want to take a minute this morning. And the first one, by the way, that was on the list was faith. He says, to your faith add virtue. And I want to say this, by the way, because Peter starts this book saying, you got to grow. And he ends this book saying, you got to grow. And this is the last part of 2 Peter. And look what he says, by the way, when I think about faith. Faith is something that we have in Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you guys, everybody look up. Doesn't your faith sometimes feel like the faith Jesus described, like a grain of mustard seed? Meaning it's like real, real little. It's like a grain of sand. It's so small sometimes, it's almost like we can't even see that it's there. So I want to say this. Before we dive into what we're going to add, we have to build up our faith. And Peter says this at the end of the book. He says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, and by the way, he was describing all of the end times things. We just studied this a couple weeks ago. He was describing all the things that are going to happen. He says, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. And by the way, look what he says, being led away with the error of the wicked. So here's what he's trying to say. And I want you guys to get this. He says, add virtue to your faith. I want to say, let's make sure this year that week in, week out, we are strengthening and stabilizing our faith. Does that make sense? And get this in your mind. Here's what's going to happen. Satan is going to attack us. He's very slick. He's very good. And he's going to try to make us fall as we're led away with his error. It says the error of the wicked one. You know what Satan likes to make us do? Goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Pastor Ansu preached it. What was it? Doubt. Did God really say this? No, what he said is really not what it is. Remember, he said that to Eve? If you eat this fruit, it looks good. Doesn't it look good, Adam? Yeah, it looks good. If you eat this fruit, it's going to make you like what? Like gods. And you're going to discern good from evil. So I know God said this, but don't worry about that. Satan is going to try to attack your faith. So I trust God, but why is all this bad stuff happening to me? Why is my life so difficult? You know, I see so-and-so, they don't even know Jesus, and they're living fine. Right? You've been there, right? You look at your neighbors, and they're driving a nicer car than you. Their house is nicer. Their family's more well. And you're going, what's this thing about following God? Right? Don't be deceived. We got to make sure we have a faith that is steadfast, right? In the book of 1 Corinthians 15, right? He says this. He talks about the fact that Jesus conquered sin and death and all those things. And he says at the very end of the book, he says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because Satan's going to try to knock you off your faith. Don't let him do that. Boom. Don't let him do that. I'm going to move down. Here's the character qualities, right? And I guess I'll think about this for a second, right? Here's what he says. I want you to add this, right? And faith, by the way, is genuine trust in God in all circumstances. And I'll throw this out. I better go. I know sometimes our faith is shaky, but it's still that grain of mustard seed, and that's enough, right? And God's trying to build it into a bigger thing, right? Genuine trust. Wow. I'll stand still for a minute. Notice the next thing. Look what he says. So he says, to your faith, I want you to add virtue. And the idea of virtue is an excellence of character and behavior. Here's the deal. People say this. People see this all the time, right? People say, people wear a shirt, you know, I love Jesus. Back in the day, they had a bumper sticker on their car, you know, right? And then they drove like they came from hell, not from heaven. You know anybody like that? Right? And their life looks like that too sometimes, right? You know, we say, you know, we have all the t-shirts, we have all the Christianese language that we speak, but God says, hey, you know what? Add virtue, add real character to your faith. And I want to throw this out. And I said that kind of in a funny way, but isn't it true of us? Sometimes I don't know how I think the way I think. Sometimes I'm not quite sure how I say things that I say, but it just proves that I need to grow. I need to add that virtue, that excellence of character and behavior. You know, and we all lose it sometimes. We all do all those things. We are all a work in progress. Everybody got to get this down. God is not looking for perfection in your life, but he surely expects us to grow. And he sets the tone that way, right? So he says, add to your faith virtue, excellence of character and behavior. I'm going to throw this out. This is a good chance to take a pause here for application. Is there any areas of your life right now that could really grow in the virtues? Like real character? Again, we look maybe like Christians until the chips are down, until it gets really ugly, and then sometimes we get equally as ugly, right? Is there anything we can do there? So there's a point that we could take right away, right? Then look at the next thing he says. He says, I want you to add to your virtue knowledge. And here's what I want to explain this in a way that I've been thinking about this a lot. Remember I mentioned how our circumstances in life are different in 2024 than they were in 2023 or 2022 or 2021 when we looked at this last. And here's the point. I need to understand God's word and how it applies to my life now. And I say it this way. The word of God is inexhaustible. In other words, the word of God, if I read it today, if I read it tomorrow, it still has the ability to change me, to make me see things I didn't see, to make me understand things I didn't understand, and to change me in the way God wants me to change today, tomorrow, and every day until God promotes me to heaven. And I want to encourage us that way. That's so important, right? That we need that knowledge. The word there is the word gnosis. And the idea is it's not just knowledge, but it's understanding. So when I read God's word, it helps me to have a sense of discernment about what I need to do in the situations of life. And I want to throw this out. Can I grow in that area a little bit? What do you think? Can I grow in that area? He says, I want you to add knowledge. And by the way, we get that from when we hear the word of God preached. We get it when we hear the word of God taught. We get it when we read God's word personally and think about it and maybe jot some things down and pray and ask God to change what God reveals needs changing. But that's what he's talking about, that understanding of the scriptures. And then notice the next point that he says, self-control. Now stop thinking about that for a second. What is self-control? Self-control is control of one's emotions, one's impulses, and one's desires. So I don't know about you, we could all do a little work on that one, I think, right? Think about, again, just kind of putting that into reality, one's emotions. Is anybody really anxious, really sad, really angry? Could we work on that by the grace of God? And by the way, all those things, I throw this out, emotions are not sin, usually. But what we do with them certainly can lead to sin. And I use anger. By the way, you know, God is an angry God, it says in Scripture. But that angry God sent Jesus to die for us. He didn't destroy us. My anger tends more for destruction than for redemption. You understand? So God wants us to exercise self-control. And by the way, that think about it in our church, that's the leadership all on down. Because we got the same struggles you guys do. Like, don't ever think that Pastor Ansu, me, the deacons, the teachers have this, like, you know, rose garden life where everything is fine. We as ugly as you guys are sometimes. We just don't talk about it. You don't see it Sunday morning at 11. But you might see it Sunday morning at 2. Or afternoon, right? So it's just the truth, right? We got to control our emotions. How about our impulses? You know what? Temptation, right? Remember James talks about that? Satan introduces the temptation and you're like, you just want to go after it and chase it, right? You know, I'll throw one out. Like riches is such a temptation, isn't it? You know, sex is such a temptation. You know, not doing work is such a temptation. You know, all those things, they're just right out there. And, you know, we got to kind of go, wait a minute, that's Satan. That's not from God. I need to discern what's going on here. And then desires, that's, you know, very, very similar, right? Very, very similar idea there. So we got to add self-control. Then here's the next thing. And by the way, all of us could use a healthy dose of this. And I'll throw this out. If you're experiencing like a physical illness, you're dealing with maybe challenges in your family, with your children or grandchildren, whatever it is, perseverance. Perseverance, right? And that's the idea of steadfastness, persistence. Perseverance is, you know what? I am going to stay in this game no matter what. The more obstacles, you know, you put the wall there, I'm trying to run through. By the way, sometimes before you run through the wall, see if the doorknob turns and the door opens.
right? Because again, we need that discernment sometimes with our perseverance. But persistence, by the way, patience. Bible uses this phrase, long suffering. In other words, I am willing, I am equipped to deal with things for a long period of time. Here's a big area for that. That is such a gift for our marriages. Isn't it? You know, marriage, by the way, is wonderful. I am a proponent of marriage. I've been married 35 years. It is the greatest thing, but it is the hardest thing. It's hard because we always want what we want, and in marriage, it don't really work that way on both sides, but especially for guys. We want what we want, but then, you know, what they say, if mom is unhappy, everybody's unhappy, right? You know, we got to learn to work together, by the way. And wives, we got to learn to see God and do whatever that is too, right? We all got to do that. But perseverance, you know, in our world today, that's one of our challenges, right? If 1 in 2 Christian marriages fail, by the way, worse than the world, the percentage is slightly worse. If that fails, there's definitely a perseverance problem. It's a fruit of the Spirit problem that we need to grow in, right? Perseverance. Same thing, by the way, in your churches, in your families, with your kids, with your job. Perseverance, what a skill. Another people use that phrase sometimes. They call it stick-to-itiveness. I'm just going to stick in there and work it out. But perseverance is huge, right? How about the next one? It says, to your perseverance, add godliness. And this, by the way, is kind of a close cousin of virtue. But here's what godliness is. Godliness is my love and my respect for God is so strong that it's going to compel me to do certain things and not do others. You know, godliness. And I think about this. I've seen several people over time, especially in their latter ages. You can just see this sweetness, this respect for God, this love for people that only comes from real spiritual growth over a long, long period of time. Like a gentleness. They have the fruit, the gentleness, the patience. They're not screaming. They're not shouting. They're not hollering. They're praising God in everything. That kind of godliness is what we're looking for. And there's a few people in our church family I've really seen that. It's just like, wow. And I never forget, there was a guy, I remember going to a conference one time, and there was this old preacher, and I had read some of his books in school and whatnot, but he was just the picture of godliness, just gentle, kind, humble. You know, he would teach, and, you know, he had multiple PhDs. He'd been teaching years and years at Dallas Seminary, but he would come down, he'd talk to the lowest person, you know? And he just had that godliness about him, that joy of the Lord. Here's the next one, brotherly kindness. And this is a good one for our region of the world, right? The Northeast. Are we known to be like, by the way, if you came, who's here from the South? Right, raise your hand. You're here from the South. And we all say it when we go down South, boy, those people are so nice. How come no one says about that about the people in New Jersey and Pennsylvania? Right? You know, and by the way, you may see today, you know, at the Eagles game, right, for periodically, right, they go, dag, those Philly fans, you know, they do crazy stuff. But this idea of brotherly kindness, right, is this idea of brotherly love, friendliness, generosity, being considerate of others. And that's what Peter said. He said, you know, you're a believer in Christ, add that in. You know, grow in that area where there's like a sweetness about you. You know, and I can remember this. I remember years and years ago, over the Christmas holiday, one time we took a trip to visit my brother-in-law when he was in Florida. And we left on Christmas Day. And nothing was really open. You couldn't eat anywhere. You know, Chick-fil-A was closed. Everything was closed. Cracker Barrel was closed. You're like, I thought they never closed, but they closed. And we went into a truck stop, And the people there, it was like they were so nice. They're working on Christmas Day for people like me driving to go on vacation. And they were so nice. They were so happy, so joyful. Right? And by the way, shouldn't that be us? Shouldn't that be us? Brotherly kindness, that, you know, generosity, friendliness, being considerate of others, thinking about the other person before I think about myself. So I think we could probably grow a little bit in that area. What do you think? Right? And then the last thing he says is love. And the idea of love here is selfless love. Selfless and sacrificial love. You know, it's the word, you guys know the word, right? Agape is the Greek word. It's the love of God sort of poured through us that touches others. And others experience God through our sacrificial love for them. And again, I think we could do a little better in that area. What do you think? So when you kind of summarize all that stuff up, you could write down one word. And here's the word, growth. I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up for a second. Is there anybody here, no matter how old you are, no matter how many years you've been a Christian, no matter all of those things, is there anybody here that couldn't do better in at least one or more of these categories? And except for Eunice. Yeah, except for her, yeah. Yeah, and she's doing that just to tease us, right? But isn't that the case, though? Like, think about it. Like, could I have a more genuine, deeper faith? Yeah. Could I have a more excellent character and behavior in all settings? Yeah. Could I understand the scriptures better and know how to apply them? You know, with our adult children, with their kids, you know, with situations that we haven't faced before? Oh, yeah, absolutely, right? Could I be better in my self-control? Could I have less fits? Yeah, I probably could, right? Could I have more perseverance? Could I feel less like I want to throw in the towel and keep pushing on? Could I have more real godliness that people just go, wow, this guy is amazing, or this person is amazing, this lady is amazing? Could I have more friendliness and generosity and consideration? Could I have a more selfless, sacrificial love? And the answer, I think, is, yep, I sure could. I sure could. Now, the analysis. We'll just sit down real quick. Take us there, Chris, if you would. Next slide, if you would, please. By the way, look what he says. And by the way, you, like in church, everyone's like, amen, 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 preacher brother, right? But now we're going, okay, well, you're going to leave here today, and either you're going to grow or you're not. Honestly, right? But listen to what Peter says. He says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith these things, and then look what he says. And skip on down. Verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound. Remember, abound has the idea of overflow. If you are overflowing in your generosity, your love, your faith, your steadfastness, your godliness, if those things are abounding, it says, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ. In other words, if you grow this year, it's guaranteed that there will be some fruit that you will experience in 2024. It's guaranteed. It says, if you have these things, you will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ. On the flip side, because the Bible's real honest, isn't it? He says, but if you lack these things, you are what? Read the word. Short-sighted. In other words, you're living for today, but that's it. You're short-sighted. And by the way, he even adds a little more. He says, even to what? Blindness. So, you know, and the idea, some translations translate it like nearsighted. You are so nearsighted, you can't see anything. You're blind, you know? And he actually has this thing, and it says, you have forgotten that you were cleansed from your old sin. In other words, it's almost like if we say, I don't have to grow, it's like, I'm here, I made it. Is anybody here really made it all the way? No. And then he continues, he says, therefore, brothers, or brethren, which means brothers and what? Sisters. Be even more diligent. Remember, what's that word diligent? What's that mean? Do everything possible, right? I'm determined to make your call and your election sure. In other words, you know what? I'm going to be working out my salvation, as Philippians says, every single day. I'm going to work out what God has worked in. I'm going to be wrestling with things, dealing with things. I'm going to do all those things. And he says, if you do that, you will never stumble. You're never going to fall. You're never going to lose that steadfastness that God wants you to have. And he says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good analysis, right? If you grow, you're going to move forward. There's going to be fruit. If you don't grow, it's going to be not so good this year, right? And I just want to take you to a picture to illustrate before we leave. So take us down. Anybody know what that plan is on the right? Joyce Schofield, what's that plan on the right? Elephant ears, right? You guys know what elephant ears are? Right? By the way, Lou Schofield, Joyce's husband, is the master of elephant ears. Right? He really is. But that plant's in front of my house last year. And that thing on the left side is the bulb of an elephant ear. By the way, it's pretty ugly, isn't it? It looks like a hairy potato, right? And it's about that size. That bulb produced that plant, which is about 6 foot wide and 6 foot high. It's unbelievable, right? Like, that kind of power is what God put into that package. And the difference between elephant ears that are, you know, good and beautiful and elephant ears that are not much is growth. And I'll throw this out. You guys see the plant on the right? That's right in front of my house. We actually put in one of those hoses that, you know, it just slowly leaks water all the time. So the elephant ear there literally was like 6x6. We fertilized it. We watered it. You know, we weeded it. We did all those things. And the plant was like, whew, humongous. In our backyard, we have tons of elephant ears, by the way, because they multiply. The bulb actually has other bulbs. And we put some in pots. You know, we put some way back where we never water. And those elephant ears are like this big. And the bulb this year is about the size of your thumb, not the size of a potato. And there's very little bulbs that came off of that bulb. There's no fruit. The one that we watered, the one that we cultivated, it's unbelievable. The bulb is like, it's huge, right? And I say that to say this. This year, kind of like the choice is yours. Which one are you going to be? The one that's all dried up and crusty and nothing changed? Or are you going to be the one that is just flourishing? But you got to put in the effort. And that's how he started this, right? He said, do what? Be diligent. Be diligent. Say, you know what? I'm going to grow this year. And then I'm going to lead you to the last thing as we think about how do I be diligent? Take me there, Christopher, if you would. There's the character qualities that we got to be investigating. What's going on? So we want to do some investigation today and even throughout the year. And then the next thing is this. How can I take us to the next slide? How do I figure this out? How do I do? How do I grow? And here's the first one. We got to make some investments, right? By the way, it's kind of cool. Remember in our church, we actually, by the way, praise God for you, Marion, pushing us along, right? Right? Pushing us along. We invested in some CDs this year as a church. And like, I mean, they are, instead of getting, by the way, how many people in your bank account, you open the statement up and it says interest, 3 cents. Anybody had that? And you go, oh man, what am I going to do with that? Right? Clarence said he got 4. Go ahead, brother. All right. Four, right? You know, we open this thing up, and it's coming out in the hundreds because the short-term rate is really high. We're like, oh, wow, this is amazing, right? We got to make an investment. And I want to throw out to you guys today. On the table in the back by the door to the left, going to the hospital side. And by some of you guys are saying, hey, you know, the Eagles game is won. I know. It's only 11:38. You got time. You can even see the pregame show, right? But as you go out the door, and if you Cowboy fans, it's okay. No, I'm kidding. There's a whole bunch of tools that we put on the table. There's a big book. There's a Devo for the entire year that'll take you through a lot of the scriptures. Take one. By the way, take two, take three. Give them to your friends. Give them to your family. We literally have hundreds of them through a donation from someone gave us. We praise God, right, God? Take one of those, right? There's also the devotional I shared with you that I shared the notes from today. The word for you today. There's some of those on the table. You guys took the vast majority of those, but that's out there too. There's a daily bread on the table. Take one. There is, Pastor Ansley wrote up this week how we can really grow through fasting. We're going to start our fast next Sunday. And there'll be some guidelines there. And there's actually a day-by-day scripture passage to kind of guide us through how do we think. And how do we pray as we fast, right? It's not just a diet. We're trying to get close to God, right? So that's there too. So all those tools are there. Here's the second thing, time. And I want to encourage you, and I'll throw this out. One of my things I'm going to try and do as I fast coming up a week from now is I'm not going to eat all day long. At lunchtime, I'm going to pray. I'm going to be away a couple of days. I'm going to eat. When I come back, I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray, right? And I want to encourage you guys, we need to spend a daily time with God. And by the way, and Guy, you know this too. When we're at church, by the way, when you're at church, it is like the worst place in the world to study because there's always stuff happening every single minute of the day. We're going to bar the door. But we got to pray though. We really got to pray. In the food pantry, everywhere, we got to say, you know what, God? I got to know what you're saying to me. Otherwise, what I do is not going to work out so hot. Right? So we got to set aside some time. And I want to throw this out. We need to think about involving people in our growth. I said at the beginning, right? Iron sharpens iron. Sunday school classes, gatherings with other believers at their house, different things that we do, ladies' Bible study, men's Bible study. You know, all those things are possibilities, and we can grow them more. We got to bring back man up so that we man up better, right, than we are, right? All those fellowship activities. I encourage you guys, don't just go, I'm too busy, I can't do that stuff. Even like our ladies, by the way, our ladies, they moved their meeting to February 7th, I believe it is. Is that right, Esther? Is that right? February 7th is our next ladies' gathering on Saturday. Take advantage of that. That God would encourage you, that God would speak to your heart, those kind of things, right? So such a helpful thing. And then the last thing is this. Remember, there's changes and there's seasons in your life. And those things, that's a big word, necessitate, require us to grow. You know, everybody, by the way, how many people are going to be older in 24 than they are in 23? Okay? Right? So you are, right? So and Eunice, by the way, you know, you're going to be really old because every day is your birthday. Yeah, it's amazing, right? But, you know, I want to challenge us. Even as we get older, though, there's some things that promises of God that I need to grasp better than when I was younger. You know, when we're young, we think we got the world by the tail. And when we're older, we realize the world has us by the tail, right? You know, and it's kicking us in the tail. So, you know, we gotta really grow. Our ages change, our health changes, our relationships change, and they all require us to grow. So I just want to encourage you guys today. That's sort of it. We got to go into 2024, and we got to grow day by day, moment by moment. You know, and even as a church, I'll say one last thing and I'll be done. As a church, we got to grow. Praise God, right? This is our one-year anniversary tomorrow. As one church, right? Praise God, right? We are a church that loves each other. I'll share a funny story. I keep having to go to the dry cleaner to get women's makeup off of my jacket. Right? And people ask me, like, what they keep, the guys are looking at me funny, like, something like, what's going on here? I said, we have a really loving church. It's okay. It's okay, right? And we have figured that out. Like, we love each other. But here's where we got to grow. We got to grow in such a way that we can be the people that execute God's mission right here in Willingboro. And God's mission is making disciples, winning people to Jesus, encouraging each other, and being a light in this world. So even though we came together and it's been awesome, you know, and we're loving each other like crazy, God wants to mobilize us to fulfill the mission. So we got to kind of get on board more, grow more, engage people more. It's all about those things. So here's the question. Who's in the game? Who's on board? Right? We want to build the championship team of godly, growing believers right here. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. I pray, Lord, that you would just use us today. Father, change our hearts, change our thinking. Father, grow us, Lord. We won't be able to change, Lord, all the situations that we face, but God, you can change us in the midst of those that we might be salt, light, glory, and blessing, Lord, to our family, to our friends, to you, and to this world. Lord God, help us to make a commitment today to grow. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts after our voices go silent, and that you would teach us, Lord, as only you can through your word. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.